Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us this morning as we're talking with Dr. Jack Preuss, Executive Vice President of Mission Advancement for Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Good morning, Dr. Preuss.
Good morning. Good to be with you today.
Thanks for being our guest on His Time again and talking with us about Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Tell us, for our listeners who aren't familiar with Bethesda Lutheran Communities, can you give us a background? What is Bethesda Lutheran Communities? What's the history there?
Well, it's a long history. For 110 years, Bethesda has been providing a variety of supports and services of all kinds to people who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. It started as a small outgrowth of some of the local Lutheran congregations in southeastern Wisconsin, located in Watertown, and eventually over the many years, God has really blessed Bethesda, and it's grown into a very large national and even international organization.
And how many people in a typical year are served by Bethesda Lutheran Communities?
In our core portfolio of services, we provide direct supports for around 3,000 people. That's in a variety of levels. Some we provide 24/7 care in homes. Others we provide employment training or job coaching or day services. And around 3,000 people receive those kinds of services. But through our religious life programs and outreach and through our international work, we reach many thousands more. And it's hard to know exactly how many, but quite a few.
Well, let's talk about the different services that are offered through Bethesda Lutheran Communities. You've talked about some services that are 24/7 as well as some that are day services. Mm-hmm. What are the variety of support services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities that are provided through Bethesda Lutheran Communities?
Well, we provide for their care. We in some cases, the people have their disabilities are quite significant, and so we provide for all their daily needs. We feed them, and in fact, 24-hour service for some of the people who need that. For others, they may live in what is sometimes called a foster home, but a person whose needs are a little bit less. They live with somebody in a home, and we come out and provide the kinds of supports that they may need. Maybe it's taking medications or providing other kinds of support. But Bethesda is really expanding its outreach, and we're reaching out to many thousands of additional people who currently Bethesda has not traditionally been serving through, for example, reaching out to congregations and providing consultation services to congregations so that they can be more effective in incorporating and integrating people with disabilities into their congregational lives. So it's a whole variety of services that we provide, and we're expanding into other areas.
Well, tell us about some of those. You talked about religious life or spiritual life and working with congregations to help them serve individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. What are some of the ways that congregations can do that? What are the ways that Bethesda Lutheran Communities helps congregations do that?
Well, we have a core of what we call ministry consultants, about 22 of them spread across the country. They're clustered primarily in the areas where Bethesda does its core services, but they're available to congregations if a congregation feels the need that there are people in their congregation who have disabilities and they're struggling to make them feel at home and part of the congregation. Bethesda can come out and work with leaders of the congregations or volunteer groups to help them begin to reach out. You know, it's a sad thing, but the people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are among the most unchurched population in the United States. And I regret to say that the reason for that is generally that the church has not done a good job of making people with disabilities feel welcome in their congregations. Oftentimes people with disabilities they may have mannerisms. They may have behaviors which are troubling to some people, so unfortunately, we hear stories time after time about how people have been made to feel uncomfortable in worship services, and they have simply withdrawn from the church. So it's really important that congregations find ways to meet the needs of all the people that are baptized in their congregations, and we can help if anybody needs help. They can get on our website and contact our Religious Life Department, and we can send somebody out to provide advice or counsel.
And that the ways that congregations can help individuals with disabilities feel welcome is including them in instruction and the faith life of the congregation, instruction and fellowship and all the aspects of congregational life, right?
Right. Yeah, really, and that's an important point. I think it's good if a congregation offers, let's say, a weekly Bible study, like in the evening, specifically for people who have disabilities. I mean, that's good, but the vision should be that these are God's children, these are baptized believers, and that they should be fully incorporated and included as much as possible in the life of the congregation. And I don't think that means, my opinion is it does not mean separate worship services, although those can be very beneficial. Sometimes people prefer that. The people with disabilities themselves may prefer that, but they should have the choice. And if they wish to participate in the life of the congregation, they should be made welcome to do that to the fullest extent possible.
And ultimately, why is it important? Why is it important for us as congregations to consider and to welcome individuals with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities?
Well, it's because they are members of the body of Christ, and in God's eyes, there is no distinction. Paul uses the example in various of his writings, but in Galatians, for example, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. And so he talks about some of the ways in which we categorize ourselves and kind of separate out into groups. But before God, there is no distinction. All are one in Christ. And that includes people with disabilities. And so we shouldn't think of them as being different when we look at them with the eyes of faith, but rather as one who is equally a sinner as anyone else and equally as loved and redeemed by God on account of Jesus Christ. And if we can think of them that way, not as disabled people, but as baptized people, then I think we can begin to sort of tear down that wall and begin to see them the way God sees them, which is as his beloved sons and daughters.
When we focus on our identity in Christ, when we focus on, as you said, seeing each other as baptized rather than on the other characteristics that we have, our human characteristics, focus on our identity in Christ as baptized children of God. Mm-hmm. That changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. When you look at a person, if you can do it with those eyes, you see something quite different. And we need to do that with, I think, all of the various differences that exist between us as people, ethnic differences, racial differences, differences of nationality. If they are a baptized person and they're a believer in Christ, then they should be incorporated and not excluded. And it really does change the way you see people. If we could just learn to see them not as disabled, but as people first, and for us as Christians to see them as baptized people first, that does change the whole story.
Mm-hmm. And if they're not yet baptized, pre-baptized, I guess we might say, huh?
Well, same thing. I mean, we also want to look upon them as people that God has created. Creatures of God, just like we are and just like anyone else. And so we should as earnestly desire to bring the gospel to them and to bring them into the body of Christ as much as we would anyone else.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss, Executive Vice President of Mission Advancement for Bethesda Lutheran Communities. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. Stick around for more His Time right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Live Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Professor Tom Egger of Concordia Seminary about Old Testament Judge Joshua. We'll discuss Methodism with Deaconess Ashley Prothrow and Pietism with Pastor David Miller. And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
We live in a brave new world when it comes to infertility medicine, in vitro fertilization, embryo adoption, and assisted reproductive technology. What is the church to do? What comfort can we offer those suffering? LCMS Life Ministry and Concordia Seminary Life Team are sponsoring a free infertility ethics symposium for pastors, seminarians, commission ministers, and parish nurses, November 8th in St. Louis. Space is limited. lcms.org/life.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to worldwidekfuo.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Will the real Jesus stand up? Who is this guy? Is he God? Is he the one for all? Is he the one for me? If you read the Bible at all, you will realize very quickly that these questions are the defining ones upon which everything else in the Bible rests.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me today by phone, the Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss, Executive Vice President of Mission Advancement for Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Dr. Preuss, before we went to break, we were talking about the importance of including and recognizing all people, regardless of disabilities or background, regarding them as people, as first, and especially for the baptized to recognize them as God's children and including them in the life of the congregation and instruction and fellowship in just the whole life of the congregation. And Bethesda does a lot of work all around the country in a number of places. You mentioned the ministry consultants that help congregations do the very thing that we were talking about, including people with disabilities in the life of the congregation. Does Bethesda reach beyond the United States? Are there other opportunities for beyond the U.S.?
Well, there are sure opportunities. And yes, we do. For the past 10 or 12 years, Bethesda has been actively engaged in helping to enhance the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in a variety of places. And you said, is there a need? Oh, my goodness. The need is incredible. You know, and we've experienced this. If you go around the world, and this is including in the United States, but if you go around the world and you think of different people groups as sort of heaps, people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are at the bottom of every heap everywhere. They are the most marginalized and disenfranchised. They are the highest incidence of poverty. They are the most misunderstood. People with intellectual disabilities are the people who have the disabilities that people have other disabilities dread. I don't know if that quite followed, but I mean, it is the least of the least. And so, yeah, the need is amazing. And we've discovered, you know, around the world as we've gone and grown in maybe, I mean, not currently active programs, but we've worked in, I'd say, 14 to to 15 different countries, doing a variety of things, depending on where we are and depending on what the need is. But the need is certainly great.
And so where are, what are these opportunities for international collaboration? Where would we find these?
Well, you know, as I said, everywhere, but of course it's a huge world and we have to take it one piece at a time. So what we've done is we've worked, we have two tracks. Our initial foray into international collaboration was with a consortium of other Lutheran service providers worldwide, several in Europe and several in North America, and we began collaborating with them to work to bring to light the needs of people with disabilities and actually to have projects. That was primarily done in places like Eastern Europe as the wall had come down, the plight of people with disabilities in Eastern Europe and in Russia was revealed to be really quite stunning. And so there's a great deal of work to be done, and we've worked in Latvia, in several places in Russia, and in Eastern Europe. We also began to work in places like Kenya and Tanzania. Since then, in the past 5 years, we've really, and this is the area of greatest growth, ramped up our partnerships with international Lutheran partners, either church bodies or Lutheran organizations. And so we always pick a place where there are in-country NGOs, as they call them, non-government organizations, could be a church or an institution that provides supports for people. But we work with them to partner in a variety of ways to provide what they need. Our vision is to create a global Lutheran network of organizations that have as their primary focus to enhance the lives of people with intellectual disabilities. It has brought us to places like the DR, Dominican Republic, where we have a really unique partnership in partnership with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its Office of International Missions to plant a Lutheran church in the Dominican Republic that has as its initial focus and vision to help people in every kind of need, especially intellectual disabilities. And that's been a marvelous project. It's a partnership where that church will never have known a moment of existence when it didn't reach out into its community to help the people who need help. And that's a wonderful vision. We've started a really exciting new program called our International Advocacy Mentorship Program. We started last year, and we brought three pastors from Brazil who spent a month in the United States studying issues related to disabilities and working in various areas of Bethesda's operations in the United States. They've gone home in the almost year since they went home. They have developed action plans and strategies. It's resulted in our working with a congregation in Brazil to have a ministry consultant down there who's going to work with the Lutheran Church of Brazil. This is very exciting. This year, we have 8 people coming to the Advocacy Mentorship Program. They're coming from Madagascar, from Malaysia, from Indonesia, and from Cambodia. And they'll be arriving in a month. And they'll spend roughly the month of September. They'll go home, and they'll be advocates for people with intellectual disabilities. And it's really a very exciting project, and looking forward to expanding that in the future.
It really sounds to me that with these partnerships that Bethesda is really kind of setting the standard for ministry to individuals with developmental and intellectual disabilities, not just in the United States, but also around the world, helping other church bodies helping others around the world to make that connection that we see Bethesda doing here with congregations in the U.S.
Yeah, I think you're right. And sometimes we find that, you know, working among people of intellectual disabilities is not at all in their sight. In fact, one church leader told me, we had never even thought of that before. In that case, wow, there's a great need to raise the sights and to be an advocate. But in other places around the world, we're finding that they're doing marvelous things. There's just some exciting, really dynamic and cutting-edge work being done, for example, by the Lutheran Church in Malaysia. And so, you know, we have opportunity both to help and also to grow. And that's why we're focused on collaboration and creating this network, because we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to give. But there's a very active group. This next month, we're going to Ethiopia. This will be our first visit there. But there's a very strong and vibrant Lutheran church there, which is doing some very good things among people who have disabilities. So we're gonna learn more about them, learn from them, and enter into some kind of partnership with them. I don't know what it'll be because we have to wait to see, you know, see what the needs are.
With just a couple minutes left, for our listeners who didn't hear the episode of Faith and Family where we got to talk about the collaboration with Concordia University, Wisconsin, can you give us just a brief overview of what this partnership with Concordia University, Wisconsin is offering to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as students at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, this is really an exciting project. Bethesda College at Concordia University, Wisconsin. It's a unique partnership in which we partner with the university. They provide what they do, their curriculum and their professors, and then we provide what we do, which is a support, career services, and all kinds of training for people with disabilities. It's very exciting. We're going to start. Our hope was to start with 8 students. We're still working on the final details, but it's a wonderful project that I know will be successful at Wisconsin, and then it will be replicated and expanded to other Concordia campuses around the country in the years to come.
So students with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities will have the opportunity to be students at Bethesda College of Applied Learning at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Will they live on campus?
Yeah. One of the uniquenesses of this project is that it's as integrated as it can possibly be, recognizing that these students will have special needs, but they will live in the dormitories. They'll participate in student activities. A portion of the curriculum will be within the regular university curriculum, and so they'll be sitting in classes with typical students. This, of course, is going to fulfill the dreams of a lot of people and their parents who dreamed of going to college. And it's a real college experience. It's not just a college-like experience. But I think the bigger picture is the dramatic impact this may have on the campus and on the students. The eye-opening experience of sitting alongside of a person with a disability as a fellow student, and the relationships and the respect that is going to result in this, I think, is going to be truly dramatic. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited about this project.
And understandably so, with good reason. Anything else you'd like to share with us about Bethesda Lutheran Communities as we wrap up our time together this morning, Dr. Preuss?
Well, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Bethesda is a great place for 110 years, serving a population of people that the general culture did not want to deal with. Our job is to has changed somewhat in the past few decades. We want to connect people with people, and that's really our vision, to connect people who have disabilities with other people, with other supports and services, enable people with intellectual disabilities to live as everyone else wants to live, normal lives.
We've been talking with the Reverend Dr. Jack Preuss, Executive Vice President of Mission Advancement for Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Dr. Preuss, thanks for being our guest on His Time this morning.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Coming up in a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for more right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.